Yes, we have had the same reading out of Acts for the last, 6 weeks. There's a reason for that. There's also a reason that we have been repeating our in-process vision statement every week for the past 6 or 7 weeks, and it is not, as some have suggested, maybe feels like for brainwashing purposes. it is to help us to remember and to have it sink down deeply. Just a quick note. In our culture, we have very much lost the ability to memorize. Back when they didn't have even the printing press, I mean, everything was memorized. I mean, people would memorize like the whole Bible, pretty much. The printing press, we didn't have to memorize as much, and so we didn't. And then now, when we have all the information we could possibly ask in the palm of our hand, we memorize even less. The problem is it doesn't ever get to sink down into our souls when it is held in our hands. So we're going to go through. This is the last week of really just focusing on each of the little pieces of the vision statement, and so we're going to try and say it together. I don't think I have it up. I don't. Good. These are the circles to help you, but we don't have it up there. So let's try to say it together. We are living the gospel life together, glorifying God in whole life worship, growing as disciples by word and spirit, and glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. Let's try it one more time, because I could feel there was like that little half second where you're like, okay, what is Pastor John going to say? All right. Here we go. We are living the gospel life together, glorifying God in whole life worship, growing as disciples by word and spirit, and glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. All right. Awesome. We are again focusing on that last line, and as I said last week, this is really the last line might be the purpose of the whole thing, so that we can glow with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. And something else we've talked about before is some different models of church and different models of mission and how we understand it. And really, I think there are three predominant models that we have in our American church, okay? And these two, the first two are up here. The first is receive and reproduce. And in that model, that worked best when everyone was coming to church and communities were growing and we could just wait and people would come through our doors and we just had to receive them and then hope that they reproduced. And churches grew as such. All right, so that's one model. Then you have the come and see model of church, which is if we kind of put on a good show, and I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way, but if we do everything really well, if we have really great music, if we have programs that fit everyone's needs and desires, you know, people will come to the church and they'll see how great it is and they'll stay. Okay, so that's the come and see approach. And there's something to each of these models. I mean, we want to be welcoming people. If visitors come through the doors, we want to be welcoming them and receiving them well. And, you know, maybe some of us will be reproducing, and, you know, that's hopefully what happens. The come and see approach, I mean, we want to have quality things here. We want to do things with excellence as much as we can. We want to serve people and meet people's needs. But there are also some key problems with each of them. Both of them in particular are stationary. In them, the church is stationary. So we're expecting other people outside the church to do the movement, to come to us, while we wait kind of and stay here and they come. And the problem with these is that primarily the way God operates is as a seeker. And so the third model is the go and seek model of ministry. And I think that's where most of our energy needs to be. Both practically, because people don't just come to the church, come into churches all the time, and we're not flooded with visitors, and our community's not, people aren't moving into our community, and we're growing. That's not the case, and so we need to be going out because people aren't coming in. But more importantly, again, this is how Jesus operates. Jesus says he came to seek and to save the lost. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. He came to us. In the go and seek model, the church is the one doing the movement. The church is on the move. Mission is entering our neighborhoods with Christ's love. That's how one of the ways I would define mission, is that we are, as the missionaries, are doing the movement, entering into whatever neighborhoods we have with Christ's love. I'm sorry, I'm going to try and flip this up so you can hear me better, I'm realizing. Okay. And this morning, I want to unpack that last sentence of the mission statement a little bit more. Glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. Those last few words, in our neighborhoods. We're going to focus on one sentence from Philippians, and then we're going to talk more about that line. All right, so the one sentence is this, in Philippians 2:15, part of the verse anyway. I'm going to read it for you. It's in your bulletins, in your sermon notes. It's also in your Bibles, of course. Children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. That's what Paul wants the people to become. Now, I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to ask you two questions about it. Where are the people? Where are the children of God, and what do they do? So I want you to listen to it again. Children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. Where are they? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Also in the world, right? Shine like stars in the world at the end. They're in the midst of it. In the midst of this generation. Okay. What do they do? Shine like stars. It's very simple. That's the mission of God, is that we are in the world, in the midst of the darkness. Not that the whole world is darkness, but we're in the midst of where darkness is, shining like stars. Where do stars shine most brightly? In the dark, right? In the city, we don't see as many stars, right? Because we have all the lights and everything, and so when lights are all around, we don't see all the other lights as well as when we are in the country and there aren't as many lights and it's dark, you see all the stars shining. God's people shine most brightly when we are in the midst of darkness. And that's how God's mission always happens. God's people go. God's people go. From Abraham, God said, go to a new place and I'll bless you there. Israel was supposed to be a point of connection to the world. To the rest of the nations. They went into the midst of the other nations. The church, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. It always begins with the church going. And that's Jesus' example. In Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, The Message, there's this verse in John 1, verse 14, that he writes like this. The word of God became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's what God did. That's what God did. Right now we're having, just so you know, some health issues in the back, and we're taking care of it. And we're gonna keep worshiping, okay, as much as we can. If we can help, I'll let us know, okay? Just so you all know that. Anyway, so the call that we have is to be in the midst of the world, no matter how crooked it may be, no matter how depraved it may be, no matter how uncomfortable that may be for us. We're called to be in the world, shining like stars in darkness. Okay, in our neighborhoods, glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. What does that mean? What does that look like? Why is that part of our vision statement? What are our neighborhoods? What do we mean? What is your neighborhood? Well, when a man asked Jesus this one time, a man asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" And Jesus told him a story that basically said that anyone you're around is your neighbor. So your neighborhood is wherever you are. Wherever you happen to be at a certain time, that is your neighborhood. Whatever people are surrounding you, those are your neighbors. So when we say glowing Christ with Christ's love in our neighborhoods, we mean wherever you are. You go home, in your house, whoever's around you, that's your kind of neighborhood right there, with your family. You go to the store, you're with people in your neighborhood, right there. The people who live around you, that's your neighborhood too. That's how we traditionally use the term. If you go across the country and wherever you are, that's your neighborhood. Whoever you are around is your neighborhood. Wherever you are, it is a kingdom opportunity for you to glow with Christ's love. We've said that Christians are worshipers, Christians are disciples, and Christians are missionaries. We are all strategically placed by God in whatever neighborhoods where we live and move to connect people with the kingdom of God. So if you're at work, wherever you work, you're strategically placed there to glow with Christ's love among those people. Wherever your house or your apartment is, you're strategically placed there to glow with Christ's love among those people. So mission is not primarily the responsibility of like the mission board of the church. The primary responsibility for mission is every one of us, wherever we are. And we've talked about this fragmented society we live in. You can kind of see it up there. Our society, as many of us understand, is more and more fragmented. We have these different groups that we go in and what have you. The thing is, the church, that big building church, can't fit into all of the fragments of our society. Some of them are too small. We don't have access to all of those as a big church. For example, if I walk up and knock on your neighbor's door, they're going to like batten down the hatches, close the curtains, lock the door. Who is the salesman coming to the door? You know, if someone from our mission board goes there, like, who is this person? I don't know if we want to open the door to this person, right? Now, if you walk up to your neighbor's house and knock on the door, hopefully they don't batten down the hatches and lock the door and close the blinds, right? Hopefully. Hopefully they say, oh, there's my neighbor. There's the person who shovels my sidewalks in the winter. There's the person who, I don't know if people still do this, lends me sugar when I need sugar. There's the person I see out playing with their kids or out giving candy on Halloween. They know who you are. That's a fragment of society that you have access to that the church as a whole does not. I have no place to sit down at lunch with your coworker and say, how have things been since the divorce? How are you doing? I don't have a place for that. You have a place for that. You have a seat at that lunch table where you can do that. Your family doesn't see my life every day and how I'm pursuing Christ and how I'm trying to love people. They see your life. They see how you are pursuing Jesus, how you are loving people. Now, I have my own neighborhoods. We all have our own neighborhoods where we have access to people, to love people that no one else has. And that's where the mission of the church gets done. So back at the beginning of the fall, we talked about becoming people fishers. Jesus said, come, follow me, I will make you people fishers, right? Out in the world doing this. And had some conversations, and I thought about this afterwards too. Like, when we fish, we have bait, right? And that's what attracts fish. But the problem is, we tend to think of mission, if we think of it as a big church thing, as programs only have so much effect on really doing the mission of God. Like, when you're fishing, do you put the bait in the boat and hope that fish jump into the boat? You probably haven't caught much fish. If you did, you haven't caught much fish, I'm sure. That's not what we do. We send the bait out to the fish. And I was thinking, what is the bait? What is our bait as Christians? Our bait is us. When you are living humbly in the world where there is so little humility, when you are showing people love in a world where there's so much self-centeredness, when you are living joyfully and gratefully when they're in a world where there's so much complaining and arguing, when you are living with purpose and hope amongst people who don't know their purpose and don't have hope, when you are listening to people in a world that usually just wants to talk about themselves. That is real bait. That is an attractive life. Real bait is Christ living inside of you. So when people experience you and encounter you, they are experiencing Jesus and encountering Jesus. That's how mission really happens. Even in our programs, even in something like Feed My Sheep, like, we can serve people a meal. But what do people really need to experience when they come here? Well, a meal and you. Interacting with them. Encountering Christ as they encounter you. So as a church, as we try and live this vision statement about glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods, we're not going to ask as a church or as leaders, how can we do mission for you? But how can we equip you to be missionaries and send you out as missionaries in your neighborhood who can impact people. We're not going to just ask, how can we attract people into the church? But how can we help all of us become people whose lives are attractive to other people? And we need to change the question from how do we get people here to how do we reach people out there? That's a church that's living out, glowing with Christ's love in our neighborhoods. We are God's representatives and imitators of God in this world. And our God moved into our neighborhood, became flesh and blood just like us, loved us, healed us, taught us, invited us into his kingdom. That's how we imitate God. By going into other people's neighborhoods, loving them, serving them, sacrificing for them, and inviting them into the kingdom of God. A different kind of life. So what we're going to do now, just for a few minutes, is in your sermon notes, there's a table there or a box there that has this place for you to kind of put some of your different neighborhoods. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your family, your home. Maybe it's your literal people who live around you in your apartment complex or neighborhood. And so just come up with a few of the places where you live life and write those down. And then I want you to ask, what is one way that you can glow with Christ's love in that neighborhood this week? Okay? So it could be something as small as just introducing yourself to someone who you're around but you never really take the time to talk to. Just introduce yourself. Maybe that's one. Maybe it's showing interest in someone else's life. Maybe it's offering to pray for someone. Maybe it's inviting someone over for dinner or out for coffee or a beer or whatever. Maybe that's what it is. But we're just going to take a few minutes, let you do that, and then our prayer time this morning, we're not going to do joys and concerns as we traditionally do them, okay? I'm going to spend time praying for each of the neighborhoods where you might live and give you a chance in the midst of that to pray for the people that you know in those different neighborhoods, okay? So let's just take some time to reflect and consider how we can glow with Christ's love in our neighborhoods this week.